Brian and Kim DeFore's daughter, Amanda, is going to have surgery this Tuesday morning, so everybody remember her. She has a cancerous tumor in her kidney, and they're going to remove it. So I pray the Lord will be pleased to give the doctors the wisdom and ability to do that. I've entitled this message, Discriminating Grace. Now, that word ought to get our attention. Discriminating grace. One of the greatest evils of the human race is discrimination. It's behind most of the problems in the world. One group, one person oppressing another group or person, believing that they have a superiority over that group or that person, and they have the right to that behavior. That's discrimination. The most glaring example, I suppose, would be Adolf Hitler in the last century. He believed the Aryan race to be superior to all other races, and he felt it to be his moral obligation to stamp out other races, particularly the Jews, so there could be a pure race. The monstrosities that have arisen from discrimination. Enslaving people. That was legal in this country 159 years ago. You could make people your slave. All of us have had to deal with somebody getting an unfair advantage over us because of some kind of discrimination. There's no one that is exempt from that. People will be given favoritism because of their appearance, because of their sex, because of their age, and this is discrimination and it's evil. Most wars, maybe all wars, have discrimination somewhere as the cause of those wars, a right to take what belongs to somebody else. But did you know there's one kind of discrimination that's good? The discrimination we just read of in this verse of Scripture. Who maketh thee to differ? Literally, who discriminates with you? Who distinguishes you from another? The fact of the matter is, if God didn't discriminate, none of us would be saved. Now, this is that one who has no respect of persons, too. I love to think of, he demonstrated on the cross that truly he has no respect of persons. When sin was found on his son, he killed him. And yet the discrimination spoken of in our text. If God didn't discriminate with us and make us to differ, we would be in hell right now. All men would be in hell right now. If he gave everybody exactly what they deserved and treated everybody fairly, every one of us right now would be in hell and no one would be saved. Thank God, I hope I'm saying this reverently, I hope I'm saying this from the very depths of my heart, thank God for his discriminating grace. Now, notice the last phrase of verse 6. That no one of you be puffed up for one against another. Swollen, an inflated view of yourself. And that's behind every form of discrimination, isn't it? An inflated view of yourself that makes you think you have the right to treat someone else that's inferior to you. Well, this was going on in the church of Corinth. They had these inflated, puffed up views of themselves. As a matter of fact, Paul uses this term with regard to the Corinthians six times in this epistle. You're puffed up. You're inflated. You have an inflated view of yourself. And I dare say that everybody in this room has an inflated view of themselves. Wouldn't you say? There's no question about it. You're puffed up one against the other, and that's what caused all the conflict in this church, where you have these inflated views of yourself or the group you're in. It will always lead to some form of discrimination. Now, to these people with this inflated view of themselves, he asks this question: who made you to differ from another? What do you have that you didn't receive? You didn't earn it. You didn't merit it. God gave it to you. What do you have that you didn't receive? Now, if you received it, why do you glory as if it wasn't given to you, you earned it? It came to you by way of merit or right. Who maketh thee to differ from another? Now, I have no doubt that Paul is alluding to Exodus chapter 11, verse 7. Would you turn with me there? Verse 6. But there shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as there were none like it, nor shall be like it any more. But against any of the children of Israel, listen to this language, shall not a dog move his tongue. Against man or beast, that you may know how that the Lord doth put a difference. He discriminates between the Egyptians and Israel. Now, the initial difference between the Egyptians and Israel was that Israel were slaves to the Egyptians. That's the initial difference. They were living in brick homes that the children of Israel were made to make the bricks and build. There was a big difference, but that difference changed. And the Lord makes sure we know that he says, I am the one that makes the difference. Now, the children of Israel were just as sinful as the Egyptians, just as evil, had the same bad nature. God wasn't doing this for the Israelites because they were better. He was doing this because he made a discriminating choice to do this by his grace. If he didn't, Israel would be in hell and the Egyptians would be in hell. But God made the difference. Now, when the land was covered with frogs, can you imagine how horrible that would be? Slimy frogs. Everywhere you go in your room, in your bed, you'd open the cabinets, there the frogs would be. There wasn't one frog in the land of Goshen where the Israelites were. Not one. Why? The Lord discriminated. He made a difference. When the dust was changed to lice. Have you ever had lice? If you have, you don't like it. Can you imagine being covered with lice? How miserable that would be. And all of the children of Egypt were covered with lice. Even their animals. But not one person in the land of Goshen had lice. You know why? Because God discriminated between the Egyptians and Israel. Before he sent the swarms of flies, God said to Pharaoh, I have put a division. This is what God did. I have put a division between my people and thy people. So all of Egypt is corrupted with flies. I hate flies. I mean, they're so gross. And when you see them get on your food, you don't want to eat it. They're filthy. They're dirty. Can you imagine being completely covered with flies? Everybody. Wasn't one fly in the land of Egypt. Goshen, where the Israelites stayed. You know why? The Lord discriminated. The Lord made a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. And then we have the disease on the livestock. Every cow, every sheep in Egypt died. There was a grievous, I can't remember what it's called, but they all died. And he sent people into Goshen to find out. And there wasn't one cow in all of the land of Goshen that belonged to the children of Israel that died. They were all healthy. Who made that difference? God, in his discriminating grace. And then in Egypt, boils covered man and beast. Oh, the horror of that. Everyone had these tumors sticking out of them. Not one person in Israel, in the land of Goshen, did. Why? Because God put a difference. God discriminated. And then the hail that came down. Everybody that was outside of shelter was killed by that hail. Not one drop of hail fell in the land of Goshen. God discriminated between the Egyptians and Israel. And then you think of that swarm of locusts that comes into Egypt and it eats every green thing. There's nothing left. Not one locust made it in the land of Goshen because God discriminated between the Egyptians and Israel. And what about that darkness that might be felt where for 3 days nobody would get up? The darkness was so thick in Egypt, but it was light in Goshen. They didn't have that. Why? God discriminated. And you know the Passover. Everybody in a house with the blood over the door was spared in mercy. Everybody outside of a house, God killed the firstborn. Now this ought to just get a hold of our hearts. If I have an interest in Christ, if I have a knowledge of Christ, if I love Christ, here's the reason: God made the difference. Don't you know that so with regard to you? God made the difference. Back to the question, who made thee to differ? Now first let's consider that there is in fact a vast difference between the believer and the unbeliever. There's a vast difference. But I have to say this first, there's a sense in which there's no difference at all between a believer and an unbeliever. In this sense, my old man. Paul put it this way in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, for there's no difference. There's no difference between one man and another man. You take the most moral, upstanding man you know and the biggest scumbag you know. In God's sight, maybe not in man's sight, but in God's sight, there's no difference. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the fact of the matter is, that fine, upstanding person, in God's sight, he's nothing but sin and nothing but evil. And in the difference between a believer and an unbeliever, well, an unbeliver and a believer both still have a sinful nature. Now, a believer has a nature that he didn't have before God saved him, but he still has that evil nature that's no better, that's no different than it was when the Lord first saved me. It's just as bad as ever was. I have the same appetite for sin, and you do too. And thank God we have a new nature that puts a restraint on that old man. I'm thankful for him, the new man, but I've got a nature that's just as bad and just as sinful as it ever was. And if I said it wasn't, if I said, I'm getting more holy, I'm getting more like Christ, that'd be a lie as far as my old nature. Now, I trust I've got a new man that loves Christ. I know I do. But I've got an old man that's just as sinful as it ever was. So in that sense, there's no difference. I can't look at an unbeliever and think, look at that person. What a horrible person. I'm just as bad. By nature, by choice, that's what I am. And if I look at anybody like that, I'm totally wrong. The problem is that most people really don't believe this. They really believe there is a difference. If you believe there was no difference, you and I would quit mistreating people. It would be a utopian society. Nobody really believes that, though. Now, what a difference there is between the believer and the unbeliever. One is loved by God. The other is not. God said, Jacob have I loved. Esau have I hated. And this difference was made in eternity. For the children, being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works. That's God's purpose. Salvation is not going to be by works. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger, as it's written, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. That's God speaking. And this distinction was made when I didn't have any good works to commend me, didn't have any bad works to disqualify me. It was made before the foundation of the world. The believer has spiritual life, a new nature, partakers of the divine nature. The unbeliever doesn't have that. And this accounts for the myriad differences between the two. There is a big difference between a believer and an unbeliever. A believer loves God. An unbeliever has no love for God, could care less about God. A believer believes. An unbeliever has nothing but unbelief. A believer, by the grace of God, repents. He's in a continual state of repentance. An unbeliever has no repentance. There are different desires. One desires to be found in Christ. The other could care less. There are different ambitions. One wants the glory of God. The other doesn't care anything about the glory of God. One has ears to hear. The other doesn't. One performs good works. The other is reprobate concerning every good work. What a difference there is in providence to the one, to the believer. Everything's working together for his good. Everything. To the unbeliever, everything's working together for his destruction. What a difference there is between a believer and an unbeliever. What a different view they have of the world. The unbeliever loves the world. The believer hates the world that has no love for God. When it comes time to die, look at the difference. The believer knows that righteousness is his because the righteousness of Christ is his, and he can die in peace and joy and believe it's the best day of his life is the day of his departure. Paul said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Best day of my life. The unbeliever, he doesn't have that hope. He doesn't know what's going to happen. Maybe he thinks he will be in heaven, but he's going to find out he wasn't. Think of the difference in eternity. One with Christ, perfectly conformed to his image in heaven, singing the praises of the Lamb, the other suffering the torments of hell eternally. What a difference. Who maketh thee to differ? Even in the distinctions between men, all men were not created equal. I know that's in our Constitution, but it's not so. All men were not created equal. Now, we have the right, all men have the right to be treated fairly. Everybody ought to be treated fairly. There shouldn't be one group that gets more than another group. Every group ought to be treated fairly and has that right. But all men were not created equally. Some are born much more intelligent than others. Some are born much more physically gifted than others. Who made that difference? Some are born to wealth and economic advantage. Others are born in poverty. Why? Who made that difference? Some are born with educational advantage. Some never have an education. Who made that difference? You think of the difference that makes. And who made that difference? Some are born with parents who are going to make sure they have the opportunity to succeed. Oh, that's so important. A parent putting its child in a place where they could succeed. Some people are born with parents who could care less. And they could care less about the outcome of their children or making them do right. Somebody says, now wait a minute, at least I had a work ethic. At least I worked to get what I'm got. Who gave you that work ethic? There's only one reason you have that. If you have any success, who gave you that success? You can't say, I made myself to differ. What do you have that you didn't receive, that wasn't given to you? If you've received it, then it was given to you. Freely, and you did not earn it. So why do you glory, Paul says, as if there were some merit or power in you that caused you to do it? Now, like I said, if this were believed, discrimination would be gone. And this would be a utopian society, it really would. But it's not believed, you know that. As long as men are fallen, you're going to have all these one group or one man oppressing another. That is the part of fallen human nature. Now, we've considered natural differences. Let's talk about how God made you to differ spiritually. We saw how he made the Israelites to differ from the Egyptians in such a powerful way. We've seen how any difference, well, I have not physically, he made the difference. What about spiritually? Let's go back to the believer and the unbeliever. We've already seen there is a vast difference. There's a great gulf fixed. And it's due to God's discriminating grace. Now, before I get into this, I want us to remember, if God didn't discriminate, no one would be saved. Don't look at this as a bad thing. This is a good thing. This is the one time discrimination is good, and you and I wouldn't have any hope of being saved if God did not discriminate in his grace. You know, his discrimination is having mercy on us and giving us grace in spite of who we are in ourselves. I love this definition of grace, in spite of. In spite of. Now, I want you to think about this difference the Lord made between the believer and the unbeliever. If I am a believer, it's because God chose me to be a believer before time began. He didn't look through the telescope of time and say, hey, I see Todd's going to believe. I'm going to elect him. Oh, that's foolishness. When somebody speaks of election in that light, it's blasphemous. It's God's sovereign choice of his people that he made before time began when he gave me to his son. And his son, this is before I was ever born, this is before I had any existence, he gave me to his son. And the Lord Jesus Christ agreed to be my surety, to bear full responsibility for my salvation. God made me to differ. Oh, how he made me to differ in eternal election. I love election. I love the God of election. I love the truth of election. I love the doctrine of election. It glorifies God and it gives this sinner hope. He saves freely by his grace. Now, this is God's discriminating grace. This is what the Bible teaches. I know the world doesn't like this, but you know, I don't care. It's still what the Bible teaches. And I like it this way because it gives me hope. God discriminates. He does something for sinners because he will. This is because of his grace, because of his glory. How the Son made you to differ when he came here with you in him. And when he kept the law, you kept the law. And when he died on Calvary's tree, you died on Calvary's tree. And when he was raised from the dead, you were raised from the dead. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. He made you to differ. You didn't do anything for this. You didn't earn this. He did it all. How God the Holy Spirit made you to differ when you were birthed by him. You were dead in trespasses and sins. You were born into this world dead, D-E-A-D, dead in trespasses and sins. You might have even been religious, but you didn't have any care for the living God. You didn't have any desire to be found in Christ. You were satisfied with things the way they are. And he gave you life. Partakers of the divine nature, birthed into the kingdom of heaven. What glorious grace. He made you to differ. He gave you that new nature. He birthed you. That nature didn't come from you. You think of this. Partakers of the divine nature. You have a nature that does not commit sin. A holy nature, born of God. Who made that difference? What do you have that you did not receive? In every aspect. Have you ever thought, I know you have you ever thought about how delusional pride is? How utterly unreasonable and crazy it is? What do you have that you didn't receive? Do you have a hope in Christ? He gave it to you. Do you have faith? By grace are you saved through faith, and that's not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Are you in a state of repentance all the time? A change of mind concerning yourself, God, how he saves you, look to him. Who gave you that repentance? You love God. Who gave you that love? You persevere in the faith. How many people have you seen fall away and you're still continuing? Why is that? Who made you to differ from somebody else? Aren't you thankful for discriminating grace? You know, one believer bears more fruit than another. That's true. You've seen that. One's more gracious. One's more lowly. One's more loving. Who made him to differ from the other believer? He said, "For me is thy fruit found." Somebody has a clearer understanding than somebody else. Who made that difference? Is it because the one was smarter than the other? No. God made the difference. There may be one preacher who is used by the Lord more than another preacher. Is that because the preacher that's used more is better? No. God made the difference. In all things, the Lord makes the difference. Someone is more zealous. They ought to be. Shouldn't we all be so zealous that we're consumed with a zeal for His glory? Someone demonstrates that more than others. Who made the difference? In every aspect, naturally or spiritually, who made the difference? Now, this is the question he asks. Who makes you to differ? If you're a believer, you do differ. Who made you to differ? What do you have that you didn't receive? That he gave it to you. You have a hope in Christ? Somebody else doesn't? Who gave you that hope? He is the difference. Not any merit in us. It's not because of one worked harder than the other, or that one had to exercise his free will and the other didn't. All that stuff is nonsense and foolishness. God makes the difference. And if God's done anything for you, you know what I'm saying, so. I don't have to argue this. I don't have to try to convince anybody of this. You know it so. And if you don't know it so, if you disagree with this, well, let me tell you something. He hadn't made a difference with you. He's left you to yourself. If he's done something for you, you're going to say, "This is how he saved me. He made the difference." Now, if you received it, a gift from God, Paul says, why would you glory as if it came to you through your hard work or your effort and not as a gift? But I sought it. Why did you seek? I love when David said, when the Lord said, "Seek ye my face," my heart said, "Thy face, O Lord, will I seek." You know when you seek the Lord? When he tells you, seek the Lord. Now, somebody says, well, if I can't do anything unless he enables me to, I might as well go ahead and live indifferently and eat and drink. Tomorrow we die. Nothing I can do about it. Well, you'll go to hell thinking that way. I don't know what else to say about that. But if that's your attitude, that means that all you're doing is showing that you will be in hell with that kind of attitude. That's a wrong attitude. But let me say this about this discriminating grace. This discriminating grace does not shut anybody out. It brings people in. Amen? It doesn't shut anybody out. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's part of the gospel. I want to be saved, but he said no to me. No, he didn't. If you call, whosoever shall call shall be saved. The Lord said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Now, why does a sinner come? He was given by the Father. That's why he comes. But when he comes, he's received. And if you come to Christ, you will be received. This thing of God's discriminating grace doesn't shut anybody out. It brings people in who would have otherwise been damned. Now, isn't that a glorious verse of Scripture? Who makes you to differ from another? In things natural? You know, you're different from other people. You have different talents, different skills, or lack thereof. Who made you to differ? The Lord did. He made you to differ as to how you were raised. He made you to differ. Oh, salvation, we know it's His making the difference. What do you have that you didn't receive? Nothing. Now, if you received it, why do you glory and take credit for it and act like it came from you? Let's pray. Lord, how we thank You for Your discriminating grace. For Lord, we confess, if You didn't do that, we would not be saved. But Lord, we stand amazed that You gave a people to Your Son. Oh, what a difference You made for them, and how Your Son was willing to come to this earth and keep the law for them and put away their sin. And You've given Your Spirit to them to give us faith. We thank You for the difference You've made. And Lord, deliver us from glorying as if we didn't receive it. We thank You that You've made the difference. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.